entered unto the heathen whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. For all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I also give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways, and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God, be it known unto you, and be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. I've titled this God's Holy Name. And as I said, as I read this about God saying, I had pity for my holy name, and I'm not bringing you back out of this country. I'm not giving you a country, and I'm not doing all these good things to you, for you, or because of you, or for your sake. I'm not doing it for your sake, but I'm doing it because of my name's sake, my holy name's sake. You defiled yourselves among the heathen, and you, what was the word he used here? Profaned God's name among the heathen, and caused the heathen to look at God as God can't even take care of his own people. And so it brings a bad reflection upon God. And so as I looked at this, and I thought of, you know, that sounds a little bit like people today, the me generation. It's all about me. Somebody owes me. I deserve it. And you that were here for the cat and dog theology, you know, it's all about me. That seems to be where a lot of our society is today. And I'm assuming the children of Israel, they were sort of there as well. It's like, well, God, you do all these things. You bless us. You help us. You provide for us. Take care of us. After all, we are your people. We deserve it. But we don't deserve anything from God. God didn't do anything. And as I thought of this, it just gave me a little different perspective, I guess, of God. You know, God provided a salvation in that, but did he really do it for us, or did he do it for his holy name's sake to bring him glory? We benefited from it, but it was really the things that God has done from creation and on was to bring himself glory and honor, not necessarily for man. It was not because God did not care for Israel. It wasn't because he doesn't care for us, but it's because they didn't deserve what he was about to do. We didn't deserve what God did for us either. And so in thinking of that, I think it helps me at least in putting God a little bit more in perspective of where God is. You know, we take a lot for granted in our time in growing up. We learn about God and we learn about Jesus and Jesus coming to die for us and all that. And it's through Jesus' atonement that we benefit, but it's all for God's glory. Keep that in mind. And it talks about God's holy name. Holy is, and holiness is a phrase or a word that probably most of us shy away from because it's almost something that's a little bit above us. It's not something we really can identify with because really holy means spiritually pure or sinless. And I think all of us would say, I don't fit there. That's not me. That's not who I am. I want to be, but I can't be of myself. But I like what Vines in the holiness, then the word holiness brings out, it's a separation to God. And I found out sanctification and holiness, the same Greek word defines both of them, is used the same word, for whatever that's worth. But God wants us, he called us to be holy, he called us and he wants us to be sanctified, to be set apart for him. That was his whole purpose of bringing and preserving his people and bringing them out of Egypt and putting them in a land that he had prepared for them where they would be taken care of and everything would be just like the Garden of Eden. And yet they rebelled and they complained and so on against God and against what he had planned for them to do. So they didn't recognize that God, who God was, in the sense that they were bringing shame upon the name of God. And that was serious. God will not stand for that. God demands holiness, and God demands that his name is glorified and lifted up. And so you and I as well, that's our responsibility also. He talks about in verse 21 about, I had pity for my name, and holy name, and I wondered, but the NIV clarifies that a little more. It says, I had concern for my name. And I think that helps a little bit in understanding there. In verse 22 then, as he talks about, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen whither you went. The reason he gives, and going back to chapter 20, he talks about withholding divine punishment. And he addresses, there's three verses there in chapter 29, verse 9, 14, and 22. And he says about the same thing in each of those verses. And it said, for his name's sake, he didn't punish them. It's why he did it. But here he says, let me read this again. The reason he gives in chapter 20 for the withholding of divine punishment in those verses I just shared is here given as a reason for divine restoration. Again, it was for his name's sake. That's why he didn't punish them more or whatever the case was in that circumstance. But here he's going to bring them out. And in the verses following as we go on in there, we see what God is planning to do for his people. In verse 23, God's ultimate plan for Israel is that the whole world may know the true God. And that's what our responsibility is today as well, that we would reverence and we would lift up God's name in a way that the world would know that this is the true God. Our world is confused out there in trying to make gods from whatever they want to or different beings to worship and so on. And so they did also in the time of the children of Israel. But God desires that his name is upheld and glorified. And you know, we as the people of God, we call ourselves Christians, in the church as a whole, what are we doing in that regard to God's name? Are we really living and upholding God the way we should, so that the world will know that this is the true God? There is no other. Through obedience to God and His Word, we bring glory to God's holy name. Remember, again, the cat and dog theology. It's all about God. You know, you remember this guy sitting there at the piano singing. He didn't get it. It was all about him. It's all about me. And I wish I could remember a little bit more of the words. But the message was clear. It's about me. And just as a side note, we have a cat that came home after a couple of years being gone. He's always been a cat. And I never thought of it so much until we went through this program. But he is certainly, life is all about him. And it just stops there. And so, anyway, for whatever that's worth. But through obedience to God and His Word, we bring glory to God's holy name. That's what we are here to do. Verses 24 through 27, there are four elements in the promised restoration that God promised that He's going to do for the children of Israel. Now, I didn't look and I didn't study this out as to the timeline on all this happening, but we know that back in, 1945, 46, 47, somewhere in there, before a lot of us were born or old enough to remember, that Israel became a nation. They received and got their own land, and God put them there. And somewhere else I saw in my reading as well, and I believe it was in Ezekiel, it said there will no longer be two nations like Judah and Israel, but there will only be one nation. And we see that today. But also, I'm sure that what God was talking about here was, again, leading up to the time when Jesus was going to come and to fulfill the plan that God had for him. And how that it didn't only bless the children of Israel, but it blessed the world, in that everyone can come to Jesus Christ and receive forgiveness of their sin through the atonement that he did for us. So in verse 24, he talks about the returning of the exiles. He's going to bring them back, he says, from all the different countries where they were scattered throughout the world. You know, there's been lots of rumors and lots of talks over the years. I remember years ago hearing that, of the prophecy of people were returning to Israel from all over the world. I don't know if that's true or if it was just a story. And it doesn't really matter. But God promised that the exiles were going to return whenever that time would be. In verse 25, he talks about cleansing from sin. I'm going to sprinkle clean water upon you. Ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. Now, they were very familiar with all these washings and sprinklings that they were to do under the law. And so here God is saying, I'm going to clean you up. And and not only their body-wise, but their morals and their spiritual life. They're going to not only now not be worshiping idols, but they're going to be worshiping God. He's going to show them. He's going to remove those things and cleanse them from that. Hebrews 10, I want to turn to that. Hebrews 10, 22. A beautiful verse here that the writer, he tells us, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Again, a beautiful picture of what Jesus does to the person that comes to him and asks for forgiveness. And this is what God said he's going to do for his people. In verse 26, and he talks about renewing a renewal of the heart. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So what's he talking about there, a heart of flesh, a heart of stone? A stony heart is what the children of Israel had at that time. That's what everybody has before they come to Jesus Christ. When we shy away from, we don't want to hear about the gospel, we don't want to part with God, we have a stony heart. But God just told them he's going to take that heart out and he's going to give them a soft, fleshly heart. And it's a teachable heart. And you and I, as well as Christians, when we come to Christ, God puts within us a heart of us. He softens our heart. We all of a sudden, where we couldn't love, we can love. Where we didn't have compassion, we have compassion. We're able to show compassion. There are people that seemingly can't have or show compassion or receive compassion, but after they become Christians and Christ lives within us, that changes us. It changes us from the inside out. All these washings and all these sprinklings are symbols, in a sense, as far the outward. But from the inward, when God cleanses us from the inside, we are new. We act and we think and we can feel different. We are different. We become teachable. We can understand what God has for us and follow him. And then number four is in verse 27. He says it is enablement by God's Spirit to live God's way. And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. In John 14, Jesus in talking to the disciples and in comforting them, it's a chapter that we often go to for comfort during funerals and so on. And some good words there. John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And then in verse 26, he also said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And remember, it's God's Spirit. It's God's Holy Spirit. It's not just a spirit. There are people that believe there are different spirits. But remember, there's only one Holy Spirit, and that's the Spirit of God that can do that. And he will enable and empower us to become the children of God. And that's what he was telling them. They're going to be a different people. They're going to act different, live different, because God's Spirit is within them. What God requires of his people, he always provides also. Remember that. What God requires of you and I, he will also provide that means to be that person. In 1 Peter 2:9, Peter says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Our ultimate purpose in life is to bring God glory to God's, to bring glory to God's holy name. Remember that. Through obedience to God and his word, we bring glory to God's holy name also. And then in verse 28 in Ezekiel, he says, "And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." After this is all done and said, I am going to own you. You're going to be my people. The people around you are going to know that you are my people because I have called you out, and you will bring glory to my holy name. And again in verse 32, he says, he reminds him again, I'm not doing it for your sakes. Remember that. He says, not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Okay, the children of Israel weren't automatically now God's going to bring them out and just remake them without any say on their part. Again, they were going to have to respond to God's call. And he was drawing them and showing them his love in a way that they would do that. Have they all done that? Will they all do that? No, obviously they haven't. But people they can respond. And God is willing to forgive for their profaning his name if they will just turn to him. Be ashamed, be confounded. Repent is what he's saying. Just repent. You and I as well. You know, maybe we've repented many times in our lives, but folks, we still have to repent. Maybe it's daily. We need to repent when we think about how holy God's name is and how earthly we are. And then in verse 38, the last verse of the chapter, after God does all this, then he says, as a holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That's his goal, that's his purpose, that's his plan. That people would know that God is God. There's a few verses I want to read here just in closing. To talk about very familiar verses, talk about the Lord's name is to be praised. The first one, Psalm 113:3. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And then Malachi 1:11 says about the same thing, part of it, for from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. And then Matthew 6, verse 9, in Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray in the Lord's Prayer, he says, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or holy be your name. So remember, if you forget everything else, our purpose in life is to bring glory to God. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not what I deserve. It's not what's owed to me, but it's what God desires to do for us as his creation, is to give him glory and honor. Do we have a closing song? Number four in the faith and praise. You can stand and we'll pray. And you can be dismissed. Father, thank you again this morning for your word. And thank you, God, for the way that you have chosen to reveal yourself to us through the prophets in the Old Testament. And then through the apostles that wrote and recorded the message they received from the Holy Spirit that we have today to read and to study and to guide us on our way. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. God, we know that we haven't received what we deserve, but we are thankful for your kind mercy and love that you have shown through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that we can be your children, and we can have our sins forgiven, and we can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Thank you, God, for each person that's here today, and I pray a blessing on them. Be with us, keep us safe, and guide us through this week for your glory and honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.